I speak in the name of the living God, creator, redeemer, sustainer. Amen. Sometimes events occur in our lives that are really unique markers that have a mystery beyond the immediate happening and that we experience as standing for more than what actually takes place. In Luke's Gospel, it seems to me that this well-known story of the Transfiguration is one such event. It stands alone as a marker that is both important and defies explanation. As human beings, we are hardwired to like explanations for things, and this desire pushes some people into intricate research and study of everything from the human brain to the solar system. But this extraordinary occurrence, which appears in all three of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, is something much more and points to something much deeper than the actual moment which is described. There are six stages. First, prayer on the mountain. Second, the transformation of Jesus' appearance, his clothes and his face becoming dazzling white, witnessed by the sleepy disciples, Peter, John, and James. Third, the arrival of two figures, Moses and Elijah. Fourth, total misunderstanding of the situation by Peter. Fifth, the overshadowing of Jesus and the disciples by a cloud and the proclamation heard by them. Six, Jesus is alone and the disciples are silenced by what they have seen. In Luke's Gospel, we are given a vivid portrayal of Jesus at prayer, particularly at moments when he is being tested or making decisions, emphasizing his special relationship with God, his deep communion with his Father. And this is constantly stressed by Luke. We see this in Jesus' declaration at the age of 12 that he must be in his Father's house, and immediately after his baptism when he is praying, and most profoundly on the Mount of Olives. As we go through our year of Luke as evangelist, we will frequently find references to Jesus in prayer and the importance he places on it and the strength he gains from it. Both Jesus' experience of God through prayer and his relationship to God as his Son is made clear to the reader. And often these moments of prayer are when Jesus removes himself from the crowds and is alone or with a few of the disciples on a mountain. Commentaries point out that today's encounter with God, this scene of transfiguration, is at a pivotal moment in Jesus' ministry. Moses and Elijah speak of his exodus, translated as his departure, and figuratively meaning his death. We are also told that the disciples, as on the Mount of Olives, are wrestling with sleep, which is another clear indication of what is to come. We will hear then how the disciples couldn't stay awake when Jesus asked them to pray with him. But now, after prayer, Jesus is completely transfigured. And sometimes we say of someone, his or her face lit up. And if this is something we can recognize in our lives on a minor scale, we can only begin to wonder at what it meant when not only Jesus' face, but also his garments shone with God's radiance. And then this farcical moment with Peter when he just babbles on about making dwellings, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus. As Luke says in quite some understatement, Peter did not know what he said. He just doesn't get it. Then the moment of fear and mystery, the cloud covering them and the voice of God through the darkness. This is my son, my chosen, listen to him. And just as suddenly as it arrived, the cloud vanishes and Jesus, Peter and John and James are by themselves on the mountain. And so awesome has this been that the disciples keep silence, overcome by what they have experienced. We don't need Hollywood to embellish this one. I think we can probably all picture just how vivid and terrifying it must have been, the transcendence of God in all its glory. Not only are they overcome, but stunned, not yet aware of what lies ahead for them. It is only Jesus himself who's had his mission confirmed by God, and he bears this knowledge alone. Unlike us, Jesus doesn't resort to selective blindness about things he can or cannot accept, but from now on will draw his inner strength in preparation. But there's also another theme underneath all this, and it's about change. Change is something we all experience and to which we all react differently. There's change in every stage of life, that first encounter with school, the first sleepover, and then perhaps leaving home for university or some form of training, the first job, living abroad, further study, whatever it may be. Some of these things we embrace more cheerfully than others. According to our temperament, we react differently. Some people seem to thrive on it, others dread it. In our gospel reading, the disciples didn't think what a wonderful experience they'd just had. They were quite simply very afraid. It certainly didn't bring the radiance you might have expected. This fear is easy to sympathize with. I remember reading a few months ago about an elderly woman who'd been a musician who lived in the north, and her southern-based children thought she should move near them where they could keep an eye on her. And so it was. But the woman herself was devastated. All these people with whom she had worked or taught or made music with were in the north, as were her most precious memories. The move south, however kindly meant, brought deep fear and trauma. The happiness her children had assumed she would feel was not possible for her. Day after day, people have to make these kinds of decisions. But letting go of one thing to take on another is a huge choice. And sometimes circumstances make us want to hold the tide of change back, but somehow we have to embrace it so that we can swim with it rather than being engulfed. And with change sometimes comes a readjustment of happiness. Our perspective of happiness also changes. We learn to adjust to different goals. In most of Luke's gospel, Jesus is portrayed as imminent, near to us. But in this descriptive passage about the transfiguration, Luke presents the transcendent Jesus. And hopefully, the transcendent glory which is described reveals that we are pointed beyond death to his glorious resurrection and the hope of eternal life that we are all given. Despite our flawed lives, we are promised salvation and elevation to glory. And Peter is deeply frustrated because he cannot hold on to this miracle. He cannot do anything like build dwellings to hold on and place down on the ground. This great happening is beyond him. It remains an insight into a promised future. In his perceptive reflections on Luke, the American theologian Richard Rohr talks of this creative tension of transcendence and imminence in the Christian scriptures. He describes God as totally beyond us, and yet in Jesus among us and within us. And he says that this tension needs to be maintained both in experience and in theology. The way we believe that doctrine of totally divine and totally human affects or should affect our whole behavioral style as Christians. More often, Luke speaks of the imminence of Jesus, which makes today's gospel particularly striking. We are now almost on the threshold of Lent. Ash Wednesday is a few short days away. Each one of us will have to decide what we are going to do about it, and whether we're really going to make it an opportunity when we try to deepen our relationship with God, or whether we let the time trickle through our fingers. The Lent course will give a focus to the week. The quiet day will be a sort of halfway house in which to think and reflect together. But the ultimate experience of walking the Lenten way with Jesus will come through the Triduum, the great 3 days of preparation leading up to Easter. If you've never experienced this, we would urge you to consider doing so. It is a commitment of time that nevertheless brings rich rewards for our spiritual lives. The Transfiguration shows us that as yet there are glories which we do not comprehend, which are beyond our grasp. Lent is surely about spring cleaning our souls and bodies so that we are ready to receive them. It's about having the courage to look at our own lives with honesty and fresh determination to change whatever needs changing so that we are unencumbered by mental clutter. It's about strengthening the things we decide to keep and being brave enough to jettison that which detracts from our spiritual progress. It's also about prayer and really listening to what God is saying to us so that we face a fresh beginning with new hope, new courage, and a stronger love. May we all be strengthened on this journey. Amen.